Welcome to the Metal Hammer Podcast. It is episode 170, if you can believe that. I am Mel from Metal Hammer. Hello out there, everybody. Don't forget that the latest issue of Metal Hammer is out right now. It is a world exclusive look inside the one and only Iowa, the album that made Slipknot the biggest band in metal. We have a world exclusive interview with the band, plus a ton of people around them that were there at the time for all the madness and chaos that coloured that part of Slipknot's story. It's an amazing interview, a great feature written by Danny Levers, and the issue comes with an exclusive Slipknot commemorative patch and an exclusive poster set. It's out in shops right now across the UK, or you can get it delivered to your door from tinyurl.com/gethammer. You don't want to miss out on this. If you love Slipknot, and Lord knows, why are you listening to this podcast if you don't love Slipknot, right? You're going to want to get your hands on this issue immediately. Go get it. Actually, listen to this podcast and then go get it. I want to shout out our awesome sponsors, the lovely people at Killstar. They are one of the world's very greatest alternative fashion and accessory brands. They've got an amazing range of clothing, shoes and lifestyle items for all genders, people from all walks of life and whatever music taste you might have as well. So if you're a metalhead, a goth, a punk, or you simply just love alternative fashion and accessories, you need to get on Killstar. And because you're listening to this here podcast, you can get an exclusive discount off a ton of Killstar goodies. To get that, all you have to do is sign up to the Killstar newsletter. You'll get a 10% discount off your next purchase, and you'll be entered into a draw to win a £100 gift card. Now, this is the last week you can currently do that. This deal runs until July 2nd, so do not mess around. Get on this while you can. And to claim that discount and be entered into that aforementioned draw, all you have to do is visit www.killstar.com/pages/metalpods. You'll be entered into a draw to win a £100 gift card, or it'll be $100 or euros, depending on where in the world you are coming from. And I mean, Killstar have everything, man. They've got t-shirts, vests, dresses, things for the tops, things for the bottoms, shoes, pin badges, beanies, sunglasses, like anything you could possibly want, anything your heart could desire from the world of alternative fashion. It's all on there. So head over to killstar.com/pages/metalpod to activate that discount and be entered into that awesome draw. And as I said, you've only got until July 2nd, which I think is this Friday, isn't it? It's definitely this week anyway, so don't mess around. It's your last chance to get on this particular deal. And you're not going to want to miss out because they've got some awesome, awesome stuff. Now, let's crack on with this week's podcast, shall we? My guest this week is the legendary Sharon Denardel from Within Temptation. I had a great interview with her a couple of weeks back. We had to delay putting it out there because Within Temptation's plans changed a little bit, but they are back in action now. They've sorted everything out. And so me and Sharon talk pandemic. We talk the band's latest single, Shed My Skin. We talk why they teamed up with Anna Zoké for that banger of a track as well. Quite an interesting collaboration there. We also talk their long, long, long anticipated upcoming tour with Evanescence. And Sharon gives us some exclusive info on Within Temptation's epic upcoming live stream event. It is titled Within Temptation, The Aftermath, a show in a virtual reality. It promises to be absolutely bombastic, absolutely huge, as all things Within Temptation do always are. And it's going to be taking place July 15th and 16th. So it got delayed a little bit, hence this podcast running later than originally planned. But it's going to be happening over July 15th and 16th. You're not going to want to miss it. Go over to metalhammer.com to find out how you can get involved in this streaming event. It's going to be so huge, and you're definitely not going to want to miss it. And with that all said, I should probably let Sharon do some more of the talking now. So I'm going to hand straight over to me and Sharon. We did this interview a couple of weeks back, and it is a good one. Enjoy. I'm here with Sharon. How are you doing today, Sharon?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I am very, very good indeed. It's weird because the last time we spoke was in May 2020, I just worked out, and it was right near the start of the pandemic. And we're still here and the pandemic is still rolling on.
Yeah, it's very, it is, very surreal.
How's life kind of been for you since we last spoke generally?
Well, actually very creative, you know, been trying new things, writing new songs, of course. We had a lot of time on our hands, so we thought let's use it wisely and bring up some new stuff. And we did. So that's the main thing that we've done. And of course, also enjoyed other things in life that we normally don't have time for. So
that's always good. Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, last year you talked about wanting to get into a groove of releasing a new song every few months, something to kind of keep things rolling. And you mentioned especially giving the fans something to enjoy from Within Temptation. Obviously, we got Entertain You. Then a few months later, we got The Purge.
Those felt like two very different songs tonally. Like how are you actually kind of writing these days? Are you writing songs in batches and then just slow releasing them, or do you regroup when you've got an idea and you bring tracks together one at a time? How's the process kind of work for you right now?
It's actually every time a little bit different, because the first time we sat down, we had like three songs written, which actually had Entertain You on it and two other songs. One song is going to be a B-side track. The other song is one we're going to release after Shed My Skin. And that's still from the batch that we wrote the first time, like together with Entertain You. And The Purge was a new song that came along along the way, but just a one-off. So it's also when you're lucky to have a lot of inspiration and the right feel for a song. And we just felt like, okay, if there's a song that we really like, we're going to release it. And Entertain You was the first one we really liked, and then The Purge. And so now Shed My Skin is another one-off, actually. So it's different every time.
That's cool. And for this song, the new single, Shed My Skin, you've teamed up with Annie's OK, who our listeners who might not be familiar with them, they're like a German metalcore band. So how did you get together with them? How did that collaboration come about?
Well, we were always like trying to look out on the streaming platforms for new inspiration of, you know, new bands doing new cool stuff, and just hoping that there will be people that will inspire you. And we stumbled upon Anisoke, and we really love them, and they really bring something new to the table, to our opinion. And we were very much amazed by their music. So we felt like, okay, when we had written Shed My Skin, we felt like, okay, maybe they want to do a cooperation, you know, like a feature or something. And they were very enthusiastic, and it just turned out really well.
That's awesome. I mean, what can you tell us about the song? We're obviously going to hear it in a little while. It's not quite out there yet. But, you know, like I said, every song you've released in this era felt like it's been a bit of an evolution, something a bit different, something that stands out by itself. So what can you tell us about Shed My Skin?
Well, Shed My Skin is, lyric-wise, is a song about that you have to evolve. And, you know, you're always changing throughout time, and sometimes you make to become finally who you are meant to be, you need to, you know, shake off your own old routines, the old things you've done sometimes. Not everything, but just certain things that you weren't happy about. And sometimes you lose people in the process of that change, because not everybody is always transforming in the same direction or the same speed as you are. And but it's necessary to be who you want to be, or who you think you are supposed to be in life. And so that's what Shed My Skin is about lyrically. And musically, it's, again, maybe also a little bit like shedding our skin off and exploring again, you know, because this metalcore kind of vibe also is there in this song. And that's also why we asked Anisoke to join us. And while we're flirting with that kind of vibe of music, which is very inspirational to us at the moment, we felt like, okay, it's a little bit exploring again, and with that also shaking a little bit off what we are in a way. But, you know, the basic things that we are as a band are always there, of course. You can't change like 180 degrees or something. So it's you'll always be what you are in a way still, but still you're trying to change color a little bit.
Of course. Is that kind of part of what makes you decide who you collaborate with? Because you've actually built up quite a cool and really varied list of artists that you've worked with now, like everyone from Jacoby Shaddix to Exhibit. I mean, how do you kind of decide who gets to collaborate with Temptation?
It's all based on the song. Also with the song with Tarja was a very, you know, it's all, every song we choose someone which we hope will be interested in the song, but also that suits the song, and the song is the basis for everything for us. And then sometimes the idea comes up like, okay, maybe it would be nice to have a collaboration on it. And it's not something that we are shy of asking people. It's like, hey, next time something different again, you know?
Sure. I mean, it sounds like Shed My Skin is a kind of very personal song lyrically for you as well, which I'm sure they all are in some sense. But I mean, Resist in particular was such a conceptually loaded album. It's kind of all based around technology and our relationship with it. It's about our humanity and where it all kind of fits in. So how do you kind of gravitate from those kind of conceptually heavy tracks, which I'm sure do still include personal touches to them, but to something that is much more about your personal journey and more of a kind of emotionally heavy song in that sense?
Well, I think when we were started writing with this, in a way, me as with lyrics and everything, I was very frustrated with a lot of political stuff going on in the world. So I've felt the need to address that. And nowadays, I think, you know, everybody is very much aware of a lot of things, and they were then as well, but it was not that much alive, to my opinion, in society as much as it is now. And then now I feel less the need to talk about it because I'm not that frustrated anymore. So now it's more my personal journeys again, not just mine, but it's, you know, I get inspired just also about people around me where I see that they're struggling with certain things. And yeah, and that really helps me to be looking at personal stories of other people and giving my own interpretation to that, of course.
Is it nice for you being able to write at a slightly different pace? Because I guess if you know that you're kind of heading into an album, you know that you're going to have 10 to 12 songs, whatever, of
Yeah.
content to provide. But if you're kind of just getting inspired as you go along, is that more relaxing and just kind of nicer way of doing things in some way?
It's more organic in a way. It's how we used to do it. Like the first albums we wrote, the first album we ever wrote was like, yeah, nobody knows when we, you know, that there's a band coming up and there's no, you know, deadline or anything. And that was a very relaxed way of writing. And we felt a little bit like, okay, it relates a little bit to that because now it's the same thing. Like you don't know when you can tour again. We have a lot of time on our hands, and there's a lot of time to experiment about a lot of with a lot of things. So also musically, and we just grab that moment and the opportunity that we are able now to experiment a little bit more.
One thing that did strike me is that we've obviously had over a year of streams now, and we've seen a lot of metal bands and rock bands really pushing the envelope when it comes to kind of putting on an immersive streaming experience. And in some ways, I was almost surprised that Within Temptation weren't one of the bands to come straight out and kind of push forward with that, because you've always been such a visual band, your shows, your imagery, your videos. Why did you decide not to kind of step into streaming up until this point?
Well, because the technology was still behind a little bit. The things that we wanted to do, it's not just like an acoustic show, which is very nice as well, of course, but it's not what we wanted because everything, well, we've done that. And we wanted to do, if we do something, we want to, like you said, it needs to fit with the image that people have of us as a band. So a lot of visual stuff. And it was the first time that the guy who's developed this whole project with us is one of the guys who made Supernova, the Supernova video. And he came with a program which you are able to do real life effects of a live show. So we have multiple cameras going around from every side. We have different worlds that we have created. So it's not just a very static thing, but a very dynamic thing, which almost gives a real life feel that you have when you see a real life show. Of course, it's still from a screen. That's the only difficult thing, of course, you can't take away, but it has a real life effect kind of thing. We have a light engineer designing this show for us,
Wow.
so it gets in a virtual reality, in a virtual world. So that is very different from what we've seen so far on the internet. And so it's a very new thing. And so far, I think we're the first ones to do it in this way because there's so many ways to do it in different ways. And they all have some charm to it. But this was something that we felt like this really suits us as a band because we want that epicness still, you know? And we've always liked the big decors, like you said. And with virtual reality, the max is the limit. Actually, there's no limit.
That's what we like to hear. I mean, what can you kind of tell us about some of the aesthetics and the things we can maybe hope or expect to see? I mean, the event is described as taking place in a post-apocalyptic setting, quite
Yeah, it
sci-fi
is.
heavy, which is interesting.
Yeah.
As I said, that Resist had some of that vibe in it as well. You haven't
Yeah,
really got the
exactly.
chance to properly take Resist out on the road in a lot of territories, in fact, which is crazy. So is this going to be conceptually an extension of the Resist era, or is it going to be kind of its own thing, or is it pointing to where you might go next?
No. It's more on its own thing. It's like a project. It's like one just a story on its own. And but it is a coincidence that it does fit with Resist, but it's also coming from our own influences, things that inspire us. So it's a maybe also a natural evolve natural a natural next step.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, has it been fun for you to get involved in something like this? Because I imagine even someone who has so many things going on that you've created and been part of and produced in the band so far. I imagine there must have been some new things you got to learn to help put this together.
It's a totally new team that we have put together, because the technology is such a thing on its own. Of course, we are just performing as a band, as we are. So for me, there are some things that are different, but it's a. But at the same time, it's I have to depend on people around me to make these worlds and everything. And the technology is very difficult to bring all these camera positions and everything together and to make one big registration of that. So it's more like I'm a control freak, and I now have to give it away a little bit to people around me. That's the most difficult part, actually. So for me, it's just really performing with the band and having a lot of fun on stage. And although there's no audience, but still, it's nice that we know there's going to be this live effect.
Yeah. Is that what you miss the most about touring? Just getting that interaction with the audience?
Yeah, mostly. Yes, absolutely.
Is there anything else about? Sorry, go on.
No, that's what I really miss. Of course, the interaction is actually the cherry on the cake, and with this whole COVID happening now, that's something that I realize now more than ever that's the cherry on the cake. It doesn't matter how big your stage is or everything, but the audience. If that's not there, but I knew that already. But you feel it even more so when you go through after a period like this. And I think everybody realizes that now, that human interaction is very, very important for all of us.
Yeah, of course. Is there anything else you miss about touring in general? Because I know there have been times where we've talked before, and you've discussed how sometimes you struggled with certain aspects of touring and everything else. Yeah. Is there anything else that you miss about being on the road apart from the interaction with fans?
Well, I miss the people, of course, that I tour with. It's like a family, of course, and you speak to each other, but they're all very divided. Our guitar player, one of the guitarists are in Sweden, one is in the south of the Netherlands. You don't get together that easily, especially in these times. So it's all like the same through a screen mostly, and WhatsApp and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of distance to everything and everyone. And where some bands are, living in the same city or something, which I'm not. So that's a bit of a difficulty, of course. And so I've missed them, really. And so I'm looking forward to going on the road again. Actually, we do have a festival that actually is going to happen this summer. I'm so totally surprised. But I'm going to play in Finland for one of the festivals. Yeah, and that's something really that I'm looking forward to, and to get the first taste again of real audience. But it's going to be maybe two other ones that are going to continue as well this summer. And I still have to see if there's going to be a final go for that one. But Finland has a final go as far as I know. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So I guess their coronavirus situation is a little more under control then. I didn't realize that, festivals, it seems to be so unpredictable whether festivals are going ahead or not at the moment in Europe.
Yeah, well, they say also from the Netherlands, it's going to be after a certain time, after July, certain festivals are allowed now again. But they had just cancelled everything. So to bring everything back together again, I don't know how that's going to work. But it's difficult. But maybe there will be a midway again. I don't know.
Mm. I mean, you talked about how during the pandemic, you've been able to kind of appreciate certain things that you didn't appreciate so much before, didn't get time to appreciate before, maybe because you're on the road all the time. Is there certain things that you think you or just bands in general might struggle with in terms of having to click back into that touring cycle, because it's just been so long for everyone that it's
been 2 years. Yeah, it's a double feeling, because I love to go, and at the same time it's like, oh my god, how did I do this? Or I lost my, don't want to call it routine, but the normal things like, okay, I shouldn't forget my certain stuff that I need on the road. And I really have to get things back in my head again, like what I was supposed to take with me at least, It's like those kind of things until you're on the road again. So, oh, yeah, damn, I've got that.
Yeah. It's going to be really surreal for everyone involved, I think. I mean, one big tour we've been waiting now for almost 2 years, it feels like, is obviously the co-headline tour between yourselves and Evanescence.
Yeah,
mostly. I was so, I think everyone was just so excited when that tour got announced, and I was really fascinated how it came together, because we actually did a cover interview with you and Amy for Metal Hammer the year before last, 2019. Yeah. But when we actually did that because we realized you were both headlining a festival together and it wasn't really related to the tour. And we actually, when we put that together, had no idea this tour was even going to happen. And then kind of almost after the issue was out, it's like, oh, they're touring together. And we were like, what? So like, how did that all actually happen? Because was that already planned when you did that interview? Because I don't remember us talking about it in the feature. So I kind of feel like it was like, was it like under wraps at the time or what was going on?
Well, we were, it was work in progress. We were talking to each other and we had plans, but it was not finalized yet on everything. And of course, there were still festivals coming up. So we were not allowed to announce it also yet. So it was a lot of things, reasons why we didn't tell you at the time. So sorry for that.
Quite okay. I mean, I guess like it will have been so long between the planned touring time and the time the actual tour goes ahead. Like, is it still going to be the same show, do you think, that you would have had in mind when you first organized it? Are there going to be lots of new elements now? I mean, I suppose there's going to be songs that are played that wouldn't have been in the original set list because they didn't exist.
Of course, new songs we're going to play as well. And those weren't there yet. So, But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be, we did do a tour with Resist, a lot of shows actually. Not everywhere, like you said, but most countries we did do a tour. And so it's nice to bring something new to the table than only the Resist album. Of course, some oldie, golden oldies, of course. But now we're also going to play some really old songs as well that we dug up again. And but also the new songs. So it's going to be a really nice variety of songs that we're going to play that maybe people didn't expect from us.
Awesome. I mean, there's obviously going to be a tour at some point, we now know, which is good. But there's a new single on the way, a big streaming event on the way. Is there anything else in the pipeline for Within Temptation you can tell us about, long term or short term?
Well, there's going to be an album next year, but we don't know yet exactly a date. So I just say next year. I mean, December, but can be January. I don't know. Okay. No, it's not going to be January, but it's, next year there will be a new album because we have been writing a lot and there's a lot of inspiration. So next year will be the year of a new album.
That's really exciting. Cool. Any idea kind of where you want to go with that yet? Do you have like a loose, I know you're not going to give us very specific details right now, but could you imagine it being more conceptual or more personal? I mean, you never quite know what you're going to get with Within Temptation.
No, to be honest, I never know also either until it's finished. It's more like, oh, okay. It's like all these puzzles and then eventually it's like, okay, now I get the bigger picture. And for me, it's also like a little bit unraveling, like this, how do you say it? A ball of wool, you know, it's like
the string.
The string, and then finally it's, like, oh, it's going this direction. Oh my God, it's going that. So it's like, for me, it's also a little bit unraveling what goes on, because I'm quite a chaotic person. So I always have these ideas. And then finally, when I put it back together, it's like, okay, this is the bigger picture. But I finally always see it at the end mostly. So that's the only explanation I can give for it. But it does clear up a lot of things that happens in life. And that's okay. This is what I wanted to talk about, and afterwards we can put a name on it. And but it's not going to be a concept album. That's something that I know for sure. It's more in the moment songs that inspire us at the moment.
Sure. Okay, that makes sense. And what about in the long term? Within Temptation as a band, you've ticked most of the kind of obvious things there are to tick. You've headlined arenas around the world. You've headlined festivals. You've collaborated with so many great artists. You've played so many different countries around the world. Is there anything left kind of in the long term for you that you'd still like to achieve within Temptation? Is there anywhere left you haven't played yet that you'd like to get to? Or
Iceland? Never played in Iceland.
Oh, really?
Love to play in Iceland. Yeah. They never asked us. Why? Yeah. Africa. Never been to Africa. Well, I have been to Africa, but not for a show. Okay. No, there are many places where we still can go, which are maybe not the obvious one because they're not in the roots of the shows that we're doing, but there's still many things that I'm longing for or excited about or going want to go to one day with the band.
All right, that is it for me and Sharon. Thanks very much for joining us, Sharon. We always appreciate it. We appreciate you with In Temptation, The Aftermath, a show in a virtual reality. One of the biggest live streaming events of 2021 is going to be going down July 15th and 16th. Do not miss out. All the details over at melthammer.com right now. And don't forget to go and visit our lovely sponsors over at Killstar. And this is your last opportunity to get that exclusive discount and be entered into that £100 prize draw. To do that, go to killstar.com/pages/metal. Pods and get stuck into some awesome Killstar merch. We'll be back on the Metal Hard podcast next week. Don't forget to go pick up the latest issue as well. It is a banger. And yeah, look after yourselves and we'll see you in a week. Goodbye, everybody.